from listener-supported KTOO. Welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan and on demand as a podcast. It's Friday, January 3rd, 2025. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. I still can't get used to saying 2025. Gunath Cheesh, Hawa Toyoksik Nusum, Salama. Thank you for joining the conversation. On this episode, Gold Street Music is on tomorrow night, Saturday, January 4th. We get the lowdown on the lineup and more with Riley Woodford and guests. We chat with and get all the details on the Alaska Brewing Company Artist on Tap series, premiering Fubao Hartle's first solo exhibition beginning tomorrow, Saturday, January 4th. And Juno artist gallery Jane Andreen shares how you can become part of the awesome Downtown Artist Collective. Those conversations plus Star Party and Sounds Wild coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon.
You're listening to KTOO's Tlingit Word of the Week. This week's word comes from Kushtuk-U Bill Fawcett, and the word this week is Guakan.
Guakan.
That means deer. And here's a sentence. A deer is going to walk out on the point. Perhaps I'll see it. Let's hear it again.
Guakan.
Deer. Gunas Chish Tchune Lance Twitchell, Gold Belt Heritage Foundation, and the University of Alaska Southeast for this audio.
Kushtuk O'ish Bill Fawcett was Slukach Adi and the child of a Southern Toshone man who passed away before Bill was born. His mother later married Tsihua Bill Fawcett, who helped raise Bill. He lived on Occoquan Ani and enjoyed working with advanced language learners, helping them answer difficult questions about the language.
And tune in next week for another Tlingit Word of the Week from KTOO.
Oh, the kid is drowning in work that he didn't choose to do. And he knows he shouldn't be saving something, but he can't remember what or who. And he can't fix this with bourbon. Can't sterilize his friend. Duh, he won't lay down forever. If you believe what you read online, you're gonna die bitter. If you believe what you read online, you're gonna die bitter.
That's a little Josh Fortenberry with Bitter on Juno Afternoon. He did that live here in the studio on the red carpet stage not too long ago when he was on our series Songwriters on Songwriters. And he will be part of the show tomorrow night, Gold Street Music. You are listening to community-supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm Boston Christopher. Gold Street Music, a tradition in Juno for more than 20 years, is back tomorrow night, January 4th, with an emphasis on local musical goodness.
Great.
I love that. And I've got Riley Woodford here in the studio now to tell us more and share about what's in store for this edition of Gold Street Music. Gunnath Cheesh.
Hi. Thank you for having me. Yes.
Welcome, Riley. Yes. Awasiyati. How's it going?
It's good. Good to see you, too.
Yeah, good to see you. It's been a while. We play Riley's segment, Sounds Wild. We'll be hearing an episode today from the new Winter Collection.
Yes.
So we'll start that series today, later in the show. But you also play some music and organize these concerts. And tell us a little bit about how Gold Street Music got started.
It got started, around 2000. By a small group of, you know, local musicians and music lovers. It was initially held in basically in the same space it's going to be in tomorrow night. It's now McPheeters Hall, but at that time it was called the Undercroft. It was the basement of Holy Trinity Church.
Okay.
And so the old Holy Trinity, the one that burned down. And they since rebuilt the church, and we did shows for a couple of years after COVID in the nave, they call it, the big sanctuary of the church. But it just kind of proved to be too big a room for many of the, you know, singer-songwriters and artists that were playing. So we're trying it this time downstairs in McPheeters Hall. So folks that come, if you're familiar with it and you came in previous years, come in the Gold Street door. Not the 4th Street door that goes right into the church. Come in the downstairs where, like, Theater in the Rough often has their plays and stuff down there in McPheeters Hall, which is under, you know, the ground floor of that off of Gold Street there, between 3rd and 4th.
Is that space good? Because, I mean, I know a lot of the – or originally, I think, when Gold Street started, it was sort of focused on acoustic music and things like that. So, I mean, is that space – I'm assuming that space probably sounds really good for that kind of music.
Well, it's – yeah, it does. It's a nice room. I mean, I've heard some really good music there, and some of it unamplified, some of it amplified. Of course, many shows have been done there, and, you know, plays and things are done there. It's the first time we've done something there. Gold Street moved when the church burned, and it was about 2007. It moved to Resurrection Lutheran, which is over on 11th and B Street, you know, kind of by the bridge. And it was there for over a decade, probably, until COVID hit. And and that proved to be a really nice space because it's a smaller room. It's got, you know, raked seats, so it holds a little over 100 people. And we never needed any sound gear. People could just come in and play. And one of the fundamental ideas with Gold Street was it would be a mix of really experienced, good people that were well-known around town as being good musicians, as well as people who didn't play out in public very much or maybe had never played out in public. And we wanted to give new people a chance to perform and get some exposure and maybe, you know, get a taste for what it's like. And so it's always been kind of a mix of some people. And some people just, you know, they find a big room intimidating or whatever, but other, you know, so we just always wanted to have it be a mix of things.
Yeah.
So this group coming up now is mostly experienced people. Mike Truax is playing by himself. He's been playing for decades here in town. He's a great solo performer, good collector of songs, and does a lot of funny songs and insightful songs. He's a good one where you can really hear the lyrics and stuff. So he'll be playing by himself, and that's kind of typical of, you know, having a solo act and then a band and maybe a singer-songwriter or somebody who collects really good folk songs or something performing. So, we'll have Mike Truax playing and who's second? Stuart Ely was going to come in from Pelican and play. And I think he snowed out. He didn't get out yesterday because the float plane pond was frozen. They could take off, you know, on floats from Pelican because it's the ocean, but they couldn't land. So now it's snowing. It's clearing off, though. So if he gets in tomorrow, he'll play. If not, then we'll just make everybody else set a little bit longer.
That's right. Why not, right?
Yeah, because there's a little bit more time. It's four acts, you know, four or five. So Then we have Josh Fortenberry, who I think is going to have a couple of people backing him up, maybe. That's his call.
Usually he has some people with him. I'm sure he has some surprises in store. He played in that space at McPheeters Hall for his album release party last year. And it sounded really good in there. I think that was really a good space for that. So that's cool. So Josh Fortenberry, and then who else you got on the docket?
We have Kennedy Joe, and Dan's going to back her up, right? So yeah. Dan Kirkwood's in. Just joined us here.
Dan made it through the snowstorm. Hi, Dan. Welcome to the show. Going to cheers for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, of course. So you're going to be, you and Kennedy Joe will be making some tunes.
Yeah, along with Sam on bass.
Sam Roberts.
A really
excellent bass player.
Really cool sound. And yeah, I think really excited about the various different acts we got going on, but very pleased to be playing with her.
Yeah. Awesome. Yep.
And are you singing harmony too? Playing guitars?
I'll be playing some weird guitars.
Right on.
That's awesome.
That's that. And then Meriden and the Prime Cuts will be taking it out. And
Banghart and Friends.
That's a full band. Meriden Oreo, Bob Banghart, Sergey Morrison, Ben Higdon, and Jason Messing.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
Yeah. Well, while we have the chance, since Dan just got in here, I have a little bit of something with Kennedy Joe, so let's take a little listen to that. I think this might be, you might have played this on the show, or maybe this was what she played when she was in here for Folk Fest. But this is a little bit of Kennedy Joe for those who haven't heard her before.
Don't say a word, daddy's gonna catch you with the mockingbird. You can tell a white lie, but the devil keeps his word. Cold-hearted daughter, fell so in love with the midnight hour. Watch the world as it turns sour, and trust ash and dust. Cold-hearted daughter, and no, don't you know, there was bloodshed for your soul. Oh, sister, can't you see that you don't have to run from me? Thunder rolls without a crash of lightning. Can't expect a lady to do a man's kind of fighting. Ribbons and curls, boys and words, cold-hearted daughter. Run as fast and as far as you may, but the light still ends at the end of the day, and the soles fall out of your shoes anyway, you cold-hearted daughter. And oh, don't you know that there was bloodshed for your soul? Oh, sister, can't you see that you don't have to run from me? Gray. Her home is where she's born. She's not meant to stay. And I know it ain't fair, but she just don't care. She's a cold-hearted daughter. No, don't you know that there was bloodshed for your soul? Sister, can't you see that you don't have to run from me?
Yeah, that's a little Kennedy Joe from the red carpet stage right here live in Studio 2K from, I believe that was from Folk Fest time last year. And she will be on the Gold Street Music docket tomorrow night with Dan backing her up. And you're listening to Juno Afternoon. We're talking about Gold Street Music tomorrow night at McPheeters Hall. What time does it start?
7:30.
7:30 p.m.
Yep.
And is it still like I just show up and give you some money at the door, or how does that work?
Yeah, it's very low key. It's you know, in the classic
Juno,
sort of
right?
folky tradition, it's $5, or you can bring cookies and goodies for the snack table. And at intermission, we take a 15-minute break, and people go out and eat cookies that people brought. And we have coffee and tea and stuff. So it's a nice little break in the middle there. And
I love that.
So you can bring cookies, or you can bring a little money.
I love that. Now, here's a question for you both. because I think this is interesting. I don't know how it was in 2000 when Gold Street Music was started. I know that, you know, Buddy Tabor was around. There's mm-hmm. a lot of music's always been part of the Juno sort of scene. Mm-hmm. And especially the folk music. But it also seems like in the last couple years, it seems like we're getting a plethora of sort of singer-songwriters and more bands, and everybody's collaborating and creating other bands. I think, Dan, aren't you in the Getting Strangers? Yeah, you're part of that band, which I think Josh is also in, and Andrew Heist is everywhere playing for everybody. And do you feel like that we've got some kind of music, like, you know, kind of blast off going on right now in Juno, or?
Well, it ebbs and flows. I mean, I've been here 40 years, and it was on a peak when I started. When I got here, there was like 25 places to play. You know, there were
interesting.
Five times as many bars in town, and there were five live bands playing every weekend. It was amazing. It was amazing how much music there was.
And were people – I guess I'm also thinking about everybody's making albums these days. Is it because – I don't know if it's easier or it's just because Justin is a great producer and everybody's using him to produce his album. You know, I have no idea. But it seems like everybody's got albums coming out and, like, people are thinking about albums and they're making original music. Mm-hmm. It's not just covers, you know, things mm-hmm. like that. So I just – I think it feels like there's a sign of a renaissance. But
well, there's – you know, there's been some funny renaissances. There was a big swell at one point of contra dancing. You know, it's like 100 people would show up once a month for a big contra dance, barn dances, you know, and there was a huge contra dance scene for 5 years or something. And then it kind of floated. And there was a big Irish music scene for a while. You know, there were some real players that instigated that and got it going. And then, you know, like when Crabgrass, Panhandle Crabgrass Band was going, there was kind of a big old time bluegrass resurgence and tons of bluegrass music. And so it kind of comes and goes, you know.
Maybe it's just like it's the next generation, right? It's these young, you know, Taylor Dallas Vidics of the world and things like that. The Josh Fortenberries, I don't know if they'd classify themselves as young, but that's what it seems like to me. What are your thoughts on that, Dan?
It's really, I think, useful to hear your perspective, Riley, like having watched Good Times Come and Good Times Go. And, you know, certainly I've always been amazed by the music scene here. And when I came 15 years ago, it was one of the things that really struck me as special about Juno. So if I'm talking to friends in the music business, like I have visiting friends in LA, I'm like, man, Juno's the secret spot where people actually come out and want to dance. It's the most fun gig in the world. People around the world would die to play a show where people want to dance. So it does feel like it's a great moment for Juno music right now. And, you know, I've been in a lot of different bands in town and did my own singer-songwriter thing. And right now, nothing could please me more than just to get to back up folks like Josh or Kennedy or go out and dance to the prime cuts. I think things are great right now. So
a lot of collaborating.
And if that sounds exciting to you, I mean, there's a great lineup. This lineup on Saturday is some of the best in town, I hope.
Yeah, that's great. So review it one more time for us, Riley.
So
tell us what's
Saturday
happening
tomorrow night at McVeeters Hall, 4th and Gold Street. Come in on Gold Street, the downstairs door there, 7:30, Gold Street Music. It's going to be Mike Truax, Kennedy Joe, backed up by our friends, Josh Fortenberry, and then Meriden and the Prime Cuts. So everything from, you know, solo to a band, to bands.
Awesome. And what was that other act who's maybe?
Stuart Ely. He
Stuart
may
Ely.
Come in. He's
maybe
a,
be
a,
able
yeah,
to get here.
Maybe, a, yeah. We were.
We'll
we kind of knew that, you know, he lives in Pelican, and he was going to come in this weekend sometime anyway, so we thought it could work out.
So if he doesn't make it, we got to extend our set by like a minute?
Like a good 5 to 10 minutes.
Yeah,
each?
a couple
okay.
more songs.
Cool.
That's cool. So
you
awesome music tomorrow night. And where do we? I know that the Facebook page is a little outdated. Where do we follow Gold Street Music? How do we find out more? Is there a newsletter, email, or anything?
There is an email group. It's kind of we kind of had some problems. In COVID, we know everything got shut down.
Yeah.
And the people who were running it at that time left, and so nobody knows how to get into the Facebook page anymore. We can't,
thank God.
You know how that happens.
No, thank God. Yeah. You just got to come out and see it, man.
Yeah, it's word of mouth. So, it's getting on Juno Afternoon talking about it, right?
Yeah.
And is there another show coming up in the future?
Nope. This is one for this year. It's
okay.
the McFeeters is booked. There's a lot of shows going to be there this winter.
So this is the one. Gold Street Music tomorrow night, 7:30, McFeeters Hall. Be there. Bring $5 or some cookies or something for admission.
Bring a great lineup and
bring some friends and get on the dance floor. Dan Riley, thank you so much for coming in. I really appreciate it. Gonna cheese. Up next, we'll chat with artist Fubao Hartle and organizers of the Alaskan Brewing Artist on Tap series about Fubao's first solo exhibition premiering tomorrow, this Saturday. But first, a little star party. This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO.
Let's have a star party. This is Steve Kosas with the Marie Drake Planetarium. I'm going to talk about the unreasonable effectiveness of math in the natural sciences. Einstein published his general field equations in 1915, but he did not have an analytic solution for the equations. He used approximation methods for his predictions. It wasn't until 1916 that the mathematician Schwarzschild first published a solution to Einstein's equations. And one of the properties of that solution, that there would be regions of space where the gravity was so strong that not even light could escape. At that time, there wasn't the name black holes, but in the 18th century, there had been scientists, Mitchell and Laplace, who had hypothesized from Newton's equations that there could be dark stars where the escape velocity was greater than the speed of light. So here are this prediction of these black holes. Einstein thought the solution of Schwarzschild was wonderful, but he believed that nature would not allow for black holes to form, that there'd be some effect to prevent this gravitational collapse to form what we now call a black hole. Well, for 50 years, there was a lot of debate about whether black holes existed or they're just some artifact of the math equations. And it wasn't until the early 1970s that the first evidence of a black hole was discovered. And it wasn't looking at the black hole itself. It was the effect that the black hole had in incoming matter and gas and matter and gas that was orbiting around the black hole that would generate extreme X-rays that could not be explained by any other effect. And then in 2015, we had detection of gravitational waves from merging black holes. And in 2019, we had the first direct image of a black hole with the Event Horizon Telescope. So what does this tell us about math? Well, math is the manipulation of symbols, and it does model the universe. Why that is a question for the philosophers. This is Steve Kosas with the Marie Drake Planetarium. Our shows are on our website at mariedrakeplanetarium.org. Thank you.
KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the homelands of the Occoquan. The Clan Edi have stewarded this area for thousands of years. Today, our studios sit on a spot once part of the tidelands, now covered over with buildings, roads, and parking lots. We recognize those families who traveled to and from these tidelands to fishing and hunting grounds and to gatherings in other villages and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life for today and for future generations. This is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. I'm in studio now with a bevy of guests. I love it. First, Fubao Hartle, artist advocate, who is having a first solo exhibit opening tomorrow. And then we are also joined by Musical guest, Heather Mountcastle, who will be playing along with Luke Weld. And from Alaskan Brewing Company, I have Amanda Breslow, event coordinator. And standing in the background watching us all is Cindy Birchfield, creative project manager. It's all part of FUBAO's opening tomorrow from 1 to 4 p.m. in the tasting room. And the show will be up through the month of January. Gunath Chi, Shatye Adi, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to see you all in the studio. Oh, and I also have to mention that FUBAO's mom is in the background, Claire. Hi. Gunath Chisha, everybody. Welcome. Wasa Iti. How's it going?
I'm really excited. I mean, I'm really so excited about this event. This is my own, this is my first only solo Oscar I always wanted to do for years and years and years.
Yeah, this is a big deal for you, right?
Yes. Here's why I often hear people saying, oh, also a long time, and I say, you know what, I can do that. How about get the heart of Cindy from Bully? And the nice, the cool thing is we talk to Cindy from Bully and they can have all artists on tap on Saturday. It's called Artists on Tap. The event is called Artists on Tap for the month of January. If people can't make it tomorrow, it will be up all for all of January.
Yeah, so you'll be there tomorrow from 1 to 4 for the opening,
yes.
Like a reception. But your show and your pictures that you have here, you brought some in for me to look at. They are going to be up for the whole month of January. And Amanda, you run this program, the Artists on Tap, which is a great play on the words for, you know, tap and the beer and all that. Tell us a little bit about the Artists on Tap series.
Yeah, so the series basically highlights Juno's incredible visual arts community. I mean, there is so much talent in this town. And we just really want to highlight that. So whether you're discovering an artist for the first time or seeking work from one of your favorite artists, our month-long displays up in Brewmaster's Hall in the tasting room is just like a really great way to see that art, whether it's, like I said, new art, old art. So this happens the first Saturday of each month between October and April is that opening reception, like what you were talking about, which is what FUBAO is going to be doing tomorrow. That kicks off the month-long series and the display with the artist being there with their artist market. So like I said, for tomorrow, FUBAO is going to be there from 1 to 4. You can also get his autograph if you like. So that's awesome. But yeah, so basically that's the series. It's just really important for us to be highlighting artists from around Juno in different styles of flat medium, Cindy?
Flat medium, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Now we welcome things like macrame or mixed media. It's just the wall space is not necessarily conducive to pottery or glass, unless, of course, it can hang in our gallery cables.
I see. Okay, yeah. And how do people, if there's an artist out there who would like to be part of that, what would they do? They get a hold of you?
Or? Yeah, definitely. So please don't hesitate to reach out to me. My email is abreslow@alaskanbeer.com. So that's A-B-R-E-S-L-O-W at alaskanbeer.com. And again, my name is Amanda, but I would love to connect. Like I said, there's so many artists out there. We really want to be highlighting all sorts of different types of art, all different types of artists. So again, abreslow@alaskanbeer.com. That's how
I
you can reach
that.
Me.
That's great.
Yeah.
And it's a Saturday sort of reception, but then the show stays up for the whole month, and you do it through, you said, October through April.
That's right, yeah.
So do you already have everybody booked for the rest of this year? So if people are out there and want to be part of this, they could be looking forward to the fall, maybe.
That's right, yeah.
Okay.
So we're going to start looking for artists beginning in October.
Okay,
yeah.
Great. Awesome. That sounds good. FUBAO, what kind of stuff are we going to be seeing tomorrow? I know I've got some pictures here. Are these a lot of your outdoor photographs?
Yeah, it's clipped. We order it from Mixed Tiles. So, it's canvas.
Canvas, okay. And these are going to be for sale?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Are you also, and I mentioned, Amanda said something about an artist's market. So, Does that mean you're going to have, like, your calendars and your postcards and stuff available as well?
Tell them, but
yeah, just calendars.
Just calendars.
Okay, and just calendars.
I need to show some. The prints are all new, never seen before art.
So. Oh, okay. So you've got all new stuff tomorrow. New
yes.
photos that you have put on canvas that people can look at and purchase if they want to, right?
Yes.
Awesome. That sounds so cool. Yeah, you've got some really good ones here. I mean, looking at things over the radio doesn't necessarily work that well, but but for me, the Radiant Clouds one is beautiful. You've got a bunch of shots of the glacier, tidal reflections. Like, there's some really cool, something called Ice Dance, which is cool. That's a good one. That looks really nice. So there's going to be a ton of photographs tomorrow, and I'm so excited because you've been coming on this show since I've been doing it. You've been on for a couple years, and it's really interesting to see that you're talking about this as a solo exhibition, that you've wanted this for a long time. It seems like this is a great kind of culmination of all this work that you've been doing over the last couple years. Does it feel like that for you?
Yeah, it's feeling really cool that we often have music is a big, big part of it. I know people from Tides, they work with an organization with direct support for people with disabilities. It's called Tides.
Tides, yeah. And Heather, you're part of Tides?
Yeah, I am.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, I did not know that. I know you're playing music tomorrow.
Yeah.
Along with Luke in your group that is called?
Felicidade.
Yeah, and you've been doing that. Maybe people have seen down at the Crystal, like on the Friday. You guys still doing the Friday things?
We'll be having a show January 24th, and then later on we'll start a little bit of a weekly gig. So it's jazz and bossa nova. We'll have a bigger ensemble tomorrow. We're doing a duo with Luke and I, featuring those jazz and bossa nova songs, maybe some of Luke's originals, just kind of sweet and simple. To go with a really sweet reception for Fubao and his art. So we're really excited to collaborate. Fubao and I have been talking about this for a long time.
His vibes of have I always wanted to do the Heather often does for five our events. I was saying to Heather, how about maybe collaborating with my art show and music sometime.
And it's just really great that we're able to, that the Alaskan Brewery was able to say yes to this idea that we've had for so long to collaborate together, Fubao's photos and the Afelicidade music. So thanks to the Alaskan Brewery.
Yeah, what a beautiful pairing, right, in
yeah.
terms of that. So will you be playing throughout the course the day between 1 and 4?
Yes, we will.
Okay. Awesome. That's going to be great. And Amanda, is there going to be like, well, I guess I can always go up to the tasting area and buy myself a little taster, right? But
yeah.
Is there going to be other kinds of refreshments available?
Yeah, that is a great question. So we have 20 drinks on tap, as well as a couple non-alcoholic versions. We have 5 RTDs, ready-to-drink canned cocktails, if beer is not your thing. And as far as food goes, we have our food trucks in the parking lot. So if you get hungry, you can go out there, get some nosh, bring it back in. So you will definitely not go hungry or thirsty as you check out Fubao's awesome art and you listen to Heather's awesome music.
I feel like, do you still have the blood orange seltzer?
We tapped out of the
you
blood
You tapped
orange.
Out
yeah.
of the blood. That's
it's
the,
so
that was
good,
so
though,
good.
Right?
Man, it was
yeah,
good. Because it was like I went there one day, and I think we got something from one of the food trucks. And then what's really nice is that you all allow people to bring that food in there.
Yeah.
And then you can grab a little something to drink, a taster, whatever.
Exactly.
And then have a seat. And this time you can do it while you're watching, Heather and Luke play, and also looking at Fubao's art, which is really kind of cool. That's going to be awesome. I think that's going to be so cool. So how many pieces do you have, Fubao?
21.
21?
Yeah, I mean, this is a big deal. 21.
that's a lot. And are they all mounted on the canvas?
Yes. It's
wow.
scooped. A buoy has a wall for hanging stuff inside of a buoy. They have a wall of hooks to hang stuff on.
Yeah. That's really cool. I love that.
And I'll just add, there are various sizes, the smallest being 12 by 12, and then he's got a couple of really cool ones, I think, that are big. They're 27 by 20 inches.
What? Whoa, that's going to be cool. That is really awesome. So how did you decide which photos to pick out of all these photos that you take, Fubao?
From my mom. Thanks to my mom helping me out every day. This is kind of a big commitment from my mom and I, especially for my mom, because this is kind of a big commitment for us to find a big art show.
Yeah, this is a big deal. I know you always, you know, you call out your mom and you call her your business manager. Does she get 10%?
Yes, 100%.
100% of nice being treated nicely.
And I want to say, if you may not know, but people may sell some flyers all around town. We put up a lot of flyers around town last week and the week before.
Right, okay. Yeah, and you had some flyers out, but we want to make sure people know, because today is First Friday, which is when a lot of the downtown and other areas do sort of openings, but your opening is tomorrow, Saturday from 1 to 4 in the afternoon. And Heather and Luke will be playing. And what were you going to say, Fubao?
Let's pack it.
Let's pack it. Jam-packed. That's the phrase.
Let's get everybody fired up and pack it as much people as we can. We need to have a crammed in brewery.
Yeah, I love that. That's really good.
Bumble to bumble.
And what's really great is that Fubao, you are such an advocate for folks in this community who have disabilities, and you're such an inspiration to show folks that you can do, you know, you don't have to be limited. Like, it's really unlimited for you. Like, you're just creating all of this cool stuff. You have a calendar, you have artwork, you have canvas that people can hang in their house, and these lovely pictures that you take. It's just fantastic, and I'm really excited for you, and I'm sure everyone else is excited for you for this show that's going to be happening tomorrow. And is there anything else that you want to say about tomorrow's show?
Thank you, Boston. Thank you for saying that. That's really meant a lot to me. That's was a really nice thing you want to say. Thank you so much for saying that.
Well, I mean it. That's the thing. I really mean it.
And also, thanks to my mom and the boy saying yes to doing a show with music also.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's a really great thing that the brewery's doing, hosting you. I hope it's not your first and only solo exhibition show. Now that you've got a taste of it, do you feel like you want to do more?
I always say to my mom last night, I really would like to, really would like to do this a lot with maybe don't go, I might want to come back to the brewery next year and do the same thing all again.
Do another show at the brewery maybe next year? Yeah.
Or maybe the Jack?
Lots
any of
options.
The wonderful places around town.
Yeah, there's the wonderful, the Jack Gallery accepts artists from around town. They have like a form you can fill out and get on their list of things to do and be part of that. That would be cool.
And also, I just talked to Dina Douglas City Museum about doing an art show.
Oh, excellent. That would be fantastic. Well, we will look forward to more from Fubao Hartle and his artwork. And I really love that this collaboration is happening with I'm going to try to say it, a Feliz Navidad. Did I get it close?
Tis the season. So Felicidad, it means the happiness. We are really happy for this collaboration and future ones. So, yeah, thanks to everyone for making this happen.
Yeah,
thanks
absolutely.
For having us on the show today.
It's going to be so great. It's the Artist on Tap series featuring Fubao Hartle. Tomorrow is the opening from 1 to 4 at the Alaskan Brewery. That, of course, is out by Costco at 5364 Commercial Boulevard. There's food trucks. There's music. There's 20 beers, I think Amanda said.
20 drinks on
20
tap.
Drinks.
NA some options. Of families welcome.
Families welcome, yep. It's a wonderful, great opportunity to see some of this work and see these large prints that you've got made up. I love it.
Thank you. Can I say something?
Of course.
Don't miss out. Come tomorrow.
Don't miss out. No, you have to.
It's going to be a really fun, hyped event, fired up event.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Fubao. It's always a pleasure to have you in the studio. I really appreciate you coming in today. Ganath Jeesh.
Thank you, Boston.
Okay, up next, the Juno Artist Gallery has space for new members. We'll find out how you can get involved next on Juno Afternoon. But first, a little Sounds Wild.
Sounds Wild. Hi, I'm Riley Woodford for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. The long, dark back of a big whale breaks the surface of the Gulf of Alaska. It's not a humpback. It's much bigger. It's a fin whale. Fin whales are the world's second biggest whales, after blue whales, and can be 85 feet long. They spend winters feeding in cold polar waters and migrate to spend summers in warm tropical waters. But the location of their summer breeding and calving areas are not known. And because fin whales travel far offshore, they are difficult to track. In November of 2024, a 47-foot-long juvenile fin whale washed up dead onto the Anchorage mudflats near one of the city's most popular hiking trails. Whale strandings are fairly routine in Alaska, but this event on the tidelands of Alaska's largest city is exceptional. Although fin whales' range includes the Gulf of Alaska and the Bering Sea, all the way to the Arctic Ocean, they are rarely seen. But this dead whale was seen by thousands of people who braved cold weather to see the whale and watch biologists take samples and examine the carcass for clues to how it died. There were no signs that the whale was hit by a ship, and there were no rope marks or signs of entanglement, but samples may provide answers. For Sounds Wild, I'm Riley Woodford.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com.
Support from Hanson Gress. Seeking curious people who like technology, network engineering, and customer support. Opportunities for those who thrive on problem solving. Details at hansongress.com/careers.
You're listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. The Juno Artist Gallery is a cooperative of over 20 local artists who work together to offer their work to the community. Tonight, you can stop by during First Friday, meet the artists, and also learn how you could become part of the collective. I'm joined in studio now by Jane Andreen, otherwise known as J.A. Jules.
Absolutely, yes. Thank you.
Gwyneth Chi, Shayigudi, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you in the studio this Friday. It is First Friday.
It is. And as I said in an email out to the gallery members today, I can't believe it's already First Friday. Aren't we still having the holidays? But it's here.
It's here.
It's 2025 and time for a new look.
I know. I keep saying 2025 and I'm not used to it yet.
I know. But it's only the third day.
It is only the 30th. So it's gonna, I hope it doesn't. But, you know, did it feel, I don't know, 2024 felt like it was very full. Like, it was a lot last year. And it seemed like it went, like, I was remembering things that I thought were from happening in 2023. And it was like, oh, no, that was like May of 2024. And I was like, whoa, it's just wild. So I hope 2025, not that I want life to go faster, but it would be nice to not have everything feel so full. Like, I don't know. But every month we have First Friday. It's awesome. And this one is happening. And you don't have a featured artist for this particular month in January. This is one where you're sort of featuring everybody.
We're featuring everybody. And it's an opportunity. First, I do want to say, though, First Boston, I want to thank the Juno community. We just finished up probably the best year we've ever had.
Oh, wow.
You know, coming back from COVID. And just thank you, everybody, for supporting us. We've just got a great – I feel so proud of the gallery. The artists that we have, the work that we're showing, the camaraderie that we have, the collective effort that we're putting in is so exciting.
Yeah, I love having folks on every month, meeting some new people. You have got some new members that were in there.
Yes.
And that's always nice to see. I think last month's featured artist was a new person.
Rachel Levy.
Yeah.
Who's doing wood prints and her
wood
work.
Prints.
Yes,
yeah.
Both on paper and on clothing. And it's just flying off the shelves. Her work is so fantastic.
It's so unique and so fun, and it's whimsy, but it's also cool. I mean, I don't know. It's just very, very cool. So now, so that's great that you had the best year in a long time, because, you know, after COVID, everything kind of took a while to get back up to speed. But, and do you mean that people are showing up and they're buying the work, or what is it that you mean by that?
Yes, people are showing up. They're buying the work. Of course, our best yardstick are sales, how much we've made in sales, and that's been fantastic. But also just the feedback and the community engagement that happens when they come in. We all work at the gallery. We don't have any paid staff other than, I say, the bookkeeper. But that means that we get the opportunity to be there and engage with the people that are coming. And time and time again, I hear, oh, my gosh, I come here all the time. Your place is so beautiful. It's always changing. Your work is incredible, you know, just over and over. And then we have a lot of new people coming in over the holidays. There were a lot of people back in Juneau or coming to Juneau to celebrate with family and friends. And they would walk in and say, oh, my gosh, I've never seen something like this. This is great. Or I did talk to one young woman from Canada who is a part of an artist's collective. They're not a shop, but they share studio space, and they're talking about opening up a shop. So I shared our handbook with her.
Oh,
so
nice.
She would have sort of a template. It's kind of like mentoring and growing and moving the whole thing forward.
Yeah, so she got inspired by seeing it happen right here in Junotown. I love that. That's so cool.
Yeah.
And so remind people, for those who might be new to town or whatnot, where it is and what your hours are.
We are down to our winter hours. I'll start with that easy one. We are Tuesday through Saturday, 11 to 5:30. And we are located in the Senate Building, which is at 175 South Franklin. It's a really great building. It's a very old building, but it has a number of shops on the first and second floor, and then there's offices on the third and fourth floor. But we share the space. We just had a meeting yesterday, I guess it was, with our landlord, Bruce Denton, who is just fantastic, and he really is invested in us being successful, all of us as the retail, the vendors, the tenants that he has. And so we were talking about how we can generate more enthusiasm, get more traffic coming through, especially now in these winter months when it really slows down, as we all know. The next 3-4 months will be pretty slow. It's not just that the gallery is a collective where we're working together. But the Senate Building is kind of its own sort of collective where we are working together on our messaging and marketing and ensuring that people are having a good experience when they come.
Yeah, the Senate Building's great because there's just such a variety of shops in there, and you can go in and get a gift for anybody anytime, or, you know, things for yourself too.
I know.
Which is kind of cool. And a sandwich if you need to while you're shopping.
At Grumpy's, yes.
So it's interesting. So the collective, you said you all work there. Mm-hmm. So you take shifts and you do everything. And I know that when you go on First Friday, yes, there's the featured artist up front there near the entrance, but then other artists are in there and talking to folks, and everybody's there working and sort of communicating together. And so how do you coordinate the collective in terms of, you know, rights and responsibilities? And are there things I must do if I'm a member of the collective?
Yes, that's a really good question, Boston. And yes, people need to pay rent. We have it based on the artist has the option, depending on how much space we have available at the gallery and what they're interested in, from a half space, which is the equivalent of 40 inches of wall space, up to 1 1/4 spaces, which would be 100 inches. Right now, we don't have anybody that's at that level, but we do have several of us are at a full space. And so our rent is based on that. And then we have to do the commensurate number of hours that are required for that month to keep the gallery going. And it is working behind the counter. Everybody's expected to work behind the counter. But there's other jobs as well. And I have to say it's been around for 35, 40, I don't even know how long it's been around. Mm. But it is amazing how well it still works. We have our handbook and we build off of that. We have someone who's responsible for supplies. We have a couple of people doing our media, social media. We have marketing people. We have the web people. There's different ways, the design committee, which takes care of the look and feel. So, and then we have officers. And we all have a role, and those we can switch roles throughout the course of our time at the gallery, but we make a 1-year commitment and then follow through. And we meet once a month. I think that's one of the things people also need to know. People are expected to be there. We take care of all of our business decisions at those meetings. It isn't where one person is making a decision and then everybody else has to abide by it. There's no one in charge.
So is there like a board of, you know, sort of somebody's the president, somebody's the
Well,
this
yes,
and that.
There is. There's a president, a vice president, a treasurer, a secretary, and then the scheduler, which I have to say is probably the toughest job I would not want to take on.
Yeah.
But the board does not make the decisions. We make recommendations.
Okay. I see.
There are times when there are policy calls, when we need to interpret what's in the handbook. And then the board or the president or the committee chair has the responsibility to do that. But everybody has an equal voice.
I'm assuming that being part of the collective is interesting, too, because you get to talk with, collaborate with, talk about issues with, you know, find supplies, find suppliers, find different things like tips and tricks of, because, you know, I mean, I guess sometimes being an artist could be pretty lonely.
Well, I think that's one of the amazing things, and I like to share this with people when they ask about it. Yes, I sit in my studio looking out from Douglas onto the beautiful Juneau, but I do my jewelry, and I just sit there by myself, and I do it, and I listen to the radio, or I watch a little TV, and I'm by myself, and I'm in charge of it, and I get to make all those decisions. But then it comes to the gallery, and we work together, and I'm amazed at how well we do always work together. Occasionally, there'll be a little personality thing flare up, but everybody's committed to making it be the best place for us to show and sell our artwork. And it just works. It just works.
It just works. That's great. And so you're looking for new members now. Is there a limited number of spots? I guess it depends on the space in the gallery, right?
Yes, and it depends how many people are, how much space people are doing. If there are more people using half spaces, then of course there'd be more space available. People walk in and they think, oh, you're full, you don't have room. But what we do is when we have empty space, we fill it, we call it community space, and we fill it with everybody's work. And that way it always, we don't want to have bare spots whenever possible.
I mean, right.
Sometimes there is a little bit, but we have room for additional artists. And I want to go through the application process just a little bit. There's a written application. We'll have copies of that for people to pick up at the gallery, or you can download it from our website. And you complete that. That's the first step. And it asks for things like, what's your artistic philosophy? What's your approach towards your work? Do you think you can keep up with the demand? Once people finish that, it's reviewed by the member selection committee, and they determine whether or not it's ready to move on to the interview stage. Then a committee of three of the artists meet with the applicant and go through it's about a half hour interview, talking more about what it entails, what they're doing with their work, what they would have to do to be a member of the gallery. And if they pass that level, then we have a juried process where they bring in samples of their work in the back room, and each one of us has a responsibility to rate and assess their work based on some criteria. One, the quality of the work. Two, do we have room and space for it? Three, do we think it's something that would be a viable thing to offer the community? And then people are accepted or not accepted there. It's possible, too, because we want to have a fair balance. We don't want to have, you know, 27 photographers and one jeweler, although as a jeweler, I might like that. But
exclusivity.
Right.
Yeah.
So one of the questions that we ask ourselves as part of that juried process, is this someone who we should maybe waitlist until there is more room for that particular medium?
What's interesting about the process, is, if I heard you right, is that the art part of that process sort of comes at the end. Like, you're first asking, like, what's your philosophy? What are you willing to do? Do you understand the requirements of actually being a member of the collective? So you get past all of that stuff first. And then you may know this person, though, obviously. You might know the artist and know of their work. But then comes the sort of juried part of their art. And is it a good fit for the
collective?
Well,
and let me slide in here because I did miss one part. In that written application, you're asked to provide a catalog of your work.
Okay.
So you do have some pictures that you provide so the committee can take, or the member membership committee chair can take a look at it, and the committee can be prepared.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. So it's not at the end, but that's the biggest part there at the end.
And there's no application fee. It's more when I get accepted that I have to begin to pay rent.
Correct. Right. Correct. And there is a $250 for initiation fee for everybody. You get $50 of that back if you stay at the gallery for 1 year. You are asked to make a one-year commitment because there is a huge learning curve, and we as members put a lot of energy and effort into bringing the new people on board, getting them up to speed, you know, teaching them first and foremost how to set their barcodes so that they can be entered into the inventory so we can sell their stuff for them.
Right.
As well as, you know, how do you work the register? How do you do this? How do you do that? And it takes a while for us as members to provide a new person with that. It takes a while for the new person. I felt after 2 years I was still learning things about the gallery.
Well, it's so interesting because, you know, you have people who want to make the art, right? Mm-hmm. I know I found this a lot when I was in the theater business. There's a lot of people who want to be an artist, but the business side of how to actually make money or to promote yourself, to do all of those things, those are things that people sometimes rail against. They're like, I don't want to do that. I just want to make the art. So having a place like Juno Artist Gallery where it's a collective of people where you're learning from everybody and all of their experiences in terms mm-hmm. of what they went through, and it might be able to save you a couple of steps along the way, a lot of pain maybe.
Correct. I was selling on commission at a few places around town before I joined the gallery, and I learned a lot from those shop owners, which helped me. I felt like that gave me a little bit of a leg up. But then moving into the gallery was a whole new experience. And I just value every lesson I've learned there.
Well, that's cool. And so tonight is you're having a First Friday event.
Great.
But you'll have different folks there. People can come and talk. Obviously, you can go and shop and find things in the gallery from all the artists who are there. But if you're an artist and you want to find out a little bit more, there's going to be a few of you around tonight to talk about that. And is it going to be from 4:30 to 7 kind of thing?
4:30 to 6:30 or 7, depending on how long people are there. And I do want to say we do have room. It might not look like it. We have just lost two of our very wonderful artists. Christine Lewis has retired, is taking a break from her oil painting, and Christine Kleinhans is buying the Bear's Lair. And so she'll just be moving next door, but she won't be a part of us. So it looks like it's full, but we definitely have space. I know that there are people that are interested in working on their applications, and so it's a great time for people to go ahead, get your application in, start the process, and get a few months under your belt before we start to get really busy in those later months.
Yeah, this is a great time.
Yeah.
A great time to get in there and make it happen. Well, Jane, thank you so much. It's Jane Andreen from the Juno Artist Gallery. You can find out more at junoartistgallery.org, which is where you can download the application or just see a bunch of the different artists. It tells everybody who's in the collective, and you can see their different pages. Or show up tonight but at 4:30, between 4:30 and 6:30 or 7, depending on how this snow does and whether that brings people out or not. And find out more how you can become part of the Juno Artist Gallery. Thank you so much, Jane. Good
Thank you
for
Boston.
Being here today.
Bye-bye.
I really appreciate it. We'll do it for today's Juno Afternoon. Juno Afternoon airs Wednesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTO Juno 104.3 and KAUK Juno Ok Bay 91.7. Hello out the road. Find the show online at ktoo.org/JunoAfternoon where you can listen to episodes, subscribe to the podcast, offer feedback or suggestions, or find out how to be a guest on the show. Our theme music is by Indian Agent. Juno Afternoon is a project of the KTOO Arts and Culture team. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Aaron Tripp. Gunath Cheesh, and have a joyous Juno weekend. Happy First Friday, everybody.